Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, hour number three, Wednesday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis in Miami. Buck is in New York City. I am in the coldest radio studio that has ever existed in the history of mankind, especially one that is in nearly a tropical location, even in mid to late November. Miami, 80 degrees today. I got to say this, too. I'm down here because Fox Nation is doing the Patriot Awards. I was out last night with your buddy Will Kane to dinner. Had a really good time. Also, Pete Hegseth is hosting it. And it should be a really cool event. You can stream it on Fox Nation from 5 to 7. Going to be thousands of people there. I'm looking forward to it. So that is why I am down in Miami at our affiliate. Appreciate all of you in South Florida. It is always good to be in the free Republic of Florida with the governor, Ron DeSantis, who has refused to buckle in the face of massive criticism and has allowed, for the most part, this pandemic to almost change nothing in the lives of Floridians. The economy is rolling. I know you spend a lot of time down here, Buck, and I love it down here as well. It's where I'm spending Thanksgiving in the state of Florida. And I know you've been in this frigid studio before, although I did not get a heads up. In fact, when I got here, they said, wait, Buck didn't tell you that this is the coldest studio on the planet? I was like, no. So you can look at what I'm wearing right now, Buck. I'm in a Snuggie and a jacket as we do this show.
My love of freedom keeps me warm, Travis.
So, big stories that we are following. The Kyle Rittenhouse jury is still out, now in day two of deliberations. There is yet another grounds potentially for a mistrial with a drone video that was shared by the defense in standard definition, even though there is an HD definition version, which provides potentially more defense to Kyle Rittenhouse as it pertains to his self-defense claim. We are going to update you whenever any additional news comes in that Rittenhouse case. And maybe if a verdict comes down later today, certainly we will talk about it substantially tomorrow. Although as the hours continue to tick by, the idea that the jury is going to come out with a verdict today appears less and less likely, which to me is leaving the possibility of a hung jury out there. I don't think there's any way that Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be convicted by 12 jurors. But I do think that there could end up being a situation where some members of this jury, Buck, potentially because they are overwhelmingly intimidated by what might happen if they render a not guilty verdict, are unwilling to render a not guilty verdict. And so we have a hung jury. They say they cannot come to a result. And then we have to make a determination by the judge of whether or not a mistrial should apply based on prosecutorial misconduct. And also, if it should be a mistrial with prejudice, which would mean these case charges could never be brought again, or if it's just a mistrial, in which case we'd be right back here again, potentially at some point in the future.
Even mistrial with prejudice, they could appeal in Wisconsin, though. So
that's right.
That's possible. Would they want to go through that? These are all the different variations, and we just simply don't know. And right now, there's also the Ahmaud Arbery trial happening. He was shot in Georgia. You'll all recall the news stories on that one. And the accused shooter is currently testifying in his own defense. So we'll have more time to get into that trial, which is going to go on now for a couple of weeks, when we hopefully get a verdict here in the Rittenhouse case and we can focus in on this other trial. And I would just say, Clay, about the jury intimidation situation, this is what the left wants. I mean, we're already here. We are in a country right now where the system has been put under so much duress by people who think they have a right to take to the streets, to riot, to threaten, to loot, to burn, that there are ramifications. There are ramifications like jurors now thinking to themselves, do I want a bunch of Biden voting psychopaths mobbing outside my home? Do I want to have people come up to me, maybe spit in my face, curse at me in front of my own children? Now, I understand for a lot of people listening right now, they would be thinking to themselves, this is your duty as a citizen, as an American. You got to do what's right here. A young man's life is in the balance, and it really is. I mean, life in prison, your life is effectively over. But also there are a lot of people who are scared. And there are a lot of people who aren't and don't wish to be brave in circumstances like this. They have been brought into this, and now they may be buckling under the pressure that's put on them by leftists who, let's all recall, they want Kyle Rittenhouse to be guilty. Why exactly? Because he's a racist? There's no evidence for that whatsoever. Because he was the one that instigated all of these lethal force, or two lethal force and then one. Well, they're all lethal force incidents. Two of them died. No, he didn't instigate them. We have video showing he was chased. He was attacked. So what really, I mean, you should ask yourself, the only victory the left can claim, really, if Rittenhouse is found guilty, which I don't think will happen, but we don't know. Clay and I are very clear about this one. We don't know what's going to go on here. The only victory they can claim, Clay, is you are not to think, as an armed citizen of this country, that you have a right to stand up to the leftist mob when it's angry. There's no other takeaway from this. Why are they rooting for it otherwise? There's nothing else that makes sense.
They're rooting for it, I think, to a certain extent, because they're horribly misinformed and they're still buying into the idea that this is a white supremacist who went hunting for Black Lives Matter protesters and attempted to kill them as a result of their protest. And by the way, many of those people still believe that the people he shot, because he's been branded by the president of the United States, no less, a white supremacist, because that has happened, they believe that he's done something wrong that is racial in nature, because that's the narrative that the media wants to sell. It's not accurate, but that's what they're selling. A couple of other stories that are out there, Buck, that we've been tracking. This is good news. OSHA has announced that they are suspending their enforcement of the Biden vaccine mandate. That happened right as we started the show today. Why is that happening? Because the Fifth Circuit, courageously, the circuit court in the United States, located down in Louisiana, the Fifth Circuit is, said that Joe Biden had unconstitutionally overreached his authority in using OSHA to put in place a vaccine mandate. Now, the question that's going to be out there is, will there be, let's say, the Ninth Circuit, the California, the West Coast, could the Ninth Circuit come out and say, well, no, we think this is enforceable? Yes. And you could end up in a situation where you have a circuit split of authority. And those are typically the cases that are most likely to be taken by the Supreme Court. Now, we've been debating this, Buck. Does the Supreme Court, do they have the stones, the willingness to step up in such a highly contentious time, era, and case and say, you cannot do this, Joe Biden, using a regulatory agency? I think the Fifth Circuit laid out a perfect roadmap of why Joe Biden's order is unconstitutional. I think they got the law right. Will the Supreme Court back them? Do they have the willingness to step into this story and do it now?
I also want everyone to get ready for this. I think we've been pretty good at seeing where the left wants to take all of it, where the next steps will be. Even if the Supreme Court were to strike down this OSHA mandate, I can assure you all there will be other efforts at the state level, at the local level, other federal government regulatory efforts to make more people get the shot. Even
yes.
if the OSHA rule here doesn't stand, and OSHA's now backed off of it because of the Fifth Circuit ruling, they will push for, you know, federal aviation mandate when it comes to interstate travel on planes. They'll tell you that Department of Education funding will be tied to the fact. They're going to keep going at this. So just be prepared for, even if there's a victory against the OSHA federal mandate. Now, obviously, they'd be a little bit, I mean, chasing might be too strong a word. It'll be a setback for the vax mandate maniacs, but they'll try to find other ways to come at this. They'll find another mechanism to try to force you to get the shot, which is why taking this, not only the Fifth Circuit Court, but what states are doing now. You know, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida has this special session called.
Yes. I was going to update that. They just passed something. Did you see that, Buck?
Yeah.
The Florida House just passed the COVID-19 vaccine mandate bill that allows five exemptions. You can pick any one of five by any business in Florida wishing to require vaccines of employees. Also puts into law, no school districts may have required masking in schools. The Senate in Florida has to pass it. But if it is passed, Ron DeSantis will sign it the same day as soon as he can.
And I bet there's religious, medical, and probably even conscience exemptions in
five
the DeSantis
of them.
That's
bill. Pretty expansive.
Right. Expansive. So this is a way to work within the system, but to effectively undermine the authoritarianism that people have been engaging in through the system. This is what they're doing in Florida. I know they've looked at something similar in Texas. I need to check and see where that stands right now. I think corporate interest in the state of Texas got a little bit, put a little bit of pressure on Governor Abbott there, and he might have lost his appetite for this. But in Florida, this is the whole point. Red states, you hear me out there, red states, should have their state legislatures and governors where they have Republicans in control stopping the mandate of businesses for employees, or at least create exemptions, which is effectively the same thing.
Yes.
And, you know, don't fall into the, oh, but it's big government. No, it's not. Big government is when you have to get a shot to keep your job. That's big government.
No doubt. And that is the small measure of solace right now, is thanks to the Fifth Circuit and those judges who are willing to stand up for the Constitution. The OSHA vaccine mandate does not currently govern, and they're not able to influence it or implement it. Now, how long is that going to last, and what is the procedural posture of these legal cases going to be? That remains to be seen, and there are a lot of different directions this can still go, but I think the Fifth Circuit setting the precedent that they did is wildly important. When we come back, we'll dive into some of the Department of Justice and the FBI as they talk about going after parents for school boards. Absolute insanity based on a whistleblower report and more. But in the meantime, I want to tell you, this is the time of year to think about Christmas gifts and what's the absolute perfect Christmas gift for one family member or another. Let me tell you, it's a gift from Legacy Box. Our sponsor digitizes old family movies and makes them viewable again. Legacy Box has been doing this for long enough that a million families have benefited from their digital transfer process. You can trust them with your family's most cherished possessions, their memories. In several weeks, they take a box of old tapes, films, pictures of all sizes, digitize them, then they ship them back to you quickly, along with a thumb drive or a computer file or even DVDs. From that moment on, you can forever watch these memories again, know that they are preserved, and share them with current and future generations of your family. It's a remarkable gift to share with someone in your household. Buck, how do they get hooked up?
Look, Legacy Box is giving you early access to their Black Friday sale. Visit legacybox.com/buck and unlock the discount. It's a gift and an opportunity you don't want to miss. That website again is legacybox.com/buck. One more time, legacybox.com/buck.
So the jury is deliberating as we speak. So, I mean, how do you see this ending? I think it's really a red light for white folks coming to help at social justice protests. Hmm. Because basically what they're saying is, oh, it's okay to shoot white people too.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff you hear at places like The View. Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. We had our friend Jedediah Bila, a former co-host, actually, of The View on yesterday, with some great thoughts on just the madness of Fauciism and the mandates. But on the issue of the Rittenhouse trial, what now? So, because, Clay, there was this narrative. I think the narrative has fallen apart pretty quickly for most folks, even some people on the left, that Rittenhouse, that this was a racist shooting. It's really hard. They didn't know that there were only white victims when they were about all the racism and all stuff. Now that everyone's seen, okay, he shot three white guys who attacked him, so this is written out. It goes to the broader narrative of the riots were part of BLM, and BLM is supposed to be about, you know, police violence and murder, actually, of unarmed black men. But it's getting a little bit tricky to stick with the he's racist. So now instead it's he's a reckless vigilante. But even that's really hard because when you hear to make it stick because you hear the prosecutors effectively saying, look, sometimes you got to let the mob beat the crap out of you. You know, well, or else maybe we'll threaten to lock you up for the rest of your natural life in a small cell. I don't know how much we can read into the fact that the jury is still in its deliberations. You know, it's tea leaf reading for sure. But at least everybody knows that what they were told about this trial from the Democrat corporate press for a year was a whole bunch of lies.
Not only that, Buck, they've actually shifted their racism allegation, I would argue, in many ways, from Kyle Rittenhouse to the judge. The judge is racist. Now is the sort of the clarion call, and that's going to be what they try to apply if Kyle Rittenhouse gets off. And anybody who has watched those videos, it is virtually impossible in my mind to argue that he did not have a right to self-defense there. And by the way, Buck, I think it's worth mentioning all of this Kenosha madness spiraled out of a shooting which was not criminal in nature by police officers who were responding to defend a black woman who had called police because a man who she claims had sexually assaulted her was violating the restraining order of that had been put in place by the courts, and she feared for her life. When police responded, Jacob Blake was arming himself with a knife and saying he was going to kill people. That is when the police officer fired. So all of this is spiraling out of a violent felon making violent, felonious threats and a justified police shooting.
And it's also on video yet again. And this is where, you know, you'll notice the left often likes to rally behind these cases where we say, hold on, we have video, so the facts are not really in dispute. And this would seem to be almost, and I've been through lethal force training at the federal level, I've been through lethal force training at the local level, this is like the way they would show you in a shoot or not shoot scenario. You have your gun drawn going to the Jacob Blake incident. You have your gun drawn. Someone who is reaching for a weapon keeps reaching. You do not have to wait for them to turn around quickly and plunge that knife or whatever they're grabbing in your neck.
Yes.
The command from law enforcement with somebody who will not show hands, who will not comply, and is clearly a threat at that point. It's enough to fire. And, you know, this is, it reminds me of the case we talked about where LeBron James weighed in on,
the Columbus police.
Makia Bryant, is that the,
I think that's the woman? Right.
And another time when a woman was swinging a knife at another young black woman and a cop shot her completely justifiably. And there
saved her life, probably.
He saved a life.
Yes. And by the way, this is also many athletes walked out and refused to play over Jacob Blake. I mean, the whole thing was a pyramid of absurdity, and it's embarrassing the way the media has covered it. Big tech only gets more powerful if consumers continue to allow them access to our data. That's why you need ExpressVPN to keep your data from being shared with big tech. They make your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. They also encrypt 100% of your internet data. And it's rated number one by CNET and TechRadar. It's incredibly easy to use. Download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and boom, you're protected. How do you get signed up? Visit expressvpn.com/clay. That's expressvpn.com/clay for 3 extra months for free. One more time, expressvpn.com/clay. Go there right now to get hooked up. expressvpn.com/clay. Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Going to take some of your calls, 800-282-2882. Appreciate everybody who always weighs in. Going to try to get to a bunch of those here. Want to continue to update you. OSHA has suspended the Biden vaccine mandate. The FBI going after parents. We're going to talk with Jim Jordan about that on Friday, I believe, which should be a really interesting conversation. And the Rittenhouse jury continues to deliberate. It does not seem like we are going to get a verdict, at least during this show, for to be certain, but maybe not today as well. But Buck, we got a bunch of people who want to weigh in on a variety of different subjects. We thank you guys for calling in. 1-800-282-2882. Who should we go to first?
Let's get to Tom in Washington County, New York. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
First of all, listen, you're doing a great job, okay?
Thank you.
I'm loving it. I am a member of a school board in a very small upstate town. Our kids have been back in school for 2 years. First, masks in motion. Now, because of the new mandate from the state for masks all the time, they are masked up, which created a little bit of a problem with the parents. And I say a little bit of a problem. They're upset because they don't want to see their children masked up all day. I have a 10-year-old granddaughter that we're raising who is a student at that school. I cry when I see her come out with her face all covered up when I pick her up from school. Okay. That being said, when they have started coming to meetings over this mask mandate, they're polite, they're well informed, and they're concerned. We tell them, look, that's not our mandate. It's just that if you want to complain, you got to go down to Albany and talk to those people.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we're the messengers, and if we don't do what they say, I agree with you, by the way. Okay. And I told them that. I agree. And you'd be surprised how many people on this side of the table agree with you. We, our hands are tied because we took an oath to uphold the law. So the way they do it is they extort us by saying, you don't do what we tell you to do, we pull your funding. And quite frankly, folks, if they pull our funding, your kids will be in school somewhere else next year because we can't afford to operate the school without
them. And, you know, Tom, first of all, thank you for bringing that kind of expertise to us or that experience, I should say, to us about what you're seeing in your particular district. This is my concern also with the vaccine mandate that could be coming, too. They can just say they're going to pull funding.
Yeah. And look, I think what Tom shared is important. We want parents to be outspoken, to be passionate, to be laden with facts when they are arguing against vaccine mandates. But it's important to recognize that some of the people that you are arguing with, you think are actually on your side and have their hands tied by what state authorities are requiring of them.
Right. This is why I never get into it with people who are in a restaurant or when they tell me, you know, sir, could you put your mask on? Sometimes I can tell if they're a little too enthusiastic about it, right? But a lot of times they're not the ones who are, you know, pushing for the policy. Thank you for calling in, Tom. It's the owner or it's the city or it's, you know, it's.
I've got a good one for you. Last night on my flight to South Florida, one of the flight attendants came by and she said, love the show. Watch out for that one. If she sees your nose, she's going to let you have it.
Okay. Well, whoever that lady is, she's awesome.
Yes. How great was that? I'm standing there putting my bags up. And you know, as I'm putting my bag into the overhead, as usually happens, right? Your mask is moving around on your face and she kind of said it in a funny way, but it kind of brings home what you're saying and what Tom just made clear, which is a lot of the people that are forced to implement the mask policies actually hate having to implement the mask policies.
And I actually, Clay, it reminds me, I had someone, one of our listeners yesterday here in New York City saw me right on 6th Avenue. I was getting into, or 7th Avenue. I was getting into a cab. And because he's like, hey, Buck, and I managed to like catch my foot in the door as I was closing it because I got distracted. But he's like, I love the show. I was like, that's great. Ow.
You broke your foot in the process.
Anyway, but I still appreciate, you know what? It would be worth it. I appreciate whenever any of our listeners say that they like what we're doing. We have Meg in Rhode Island. Hey, Meg, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm calling because I think OSHA kind of is going under the radar with this a bit now because Regeneron last week came out that in 8-month follow-up study, their monoclonals were 82% effective and they have far fewer side effects. And that's at 8 months out. Now, in that time, 35% of their people got at least one vaccine, they've had zero hospitalizations. These things are way better than the vaccines that are out now, and Biden is not making enough supply, and I think it's because Donald Trump kind of touted Regeneron. So again, 82% effective, 8 months out, when this other thing with far fewer side effects when everyone else is scared of these other things for myocarditis and pulmonary embolisms, and they fade at 6 months.
You know, Meg, it's interesting. Yes. I've talked to my parents already about how if they were to have, you know, the first thing we want to do, if they, first of all, they're vaccinated and boosted, but you know, put that aside for a second. If they get sick with COVID anyway, which we all know can happen, we've already talked about it, I want them going
straight into therapeutics.
Monoclonal antibodies right away. And the fact that that's not better known, again, this is where you see the suppression of medical information as part of the broader narrative of control and Fauciism out there. Because, of course, everybody should know if you're sick and at high risk, if you're sick with COVID and at high risk, vaccinated, unvaccinated, doesn't matter. You should go get those monoclonal antibodies. And remember when Ron DeSantis was pushing it in Florida? And they even tried to create some, Ron DeSantis has a financial,
crap. So stupid.
Total crap. But they're happy to defame him and undermine monoclonal antibodies in an effort. The same, it's like the horse dewormer thing. That doesn't matter what wreckage they have to create. As long, Meg, as you can tell, you get me fired up here about this.
By the way, Buck, you got flagged by Twitter for your anti-mask tweet. We talked about that earlier this week.
It was a great tweet.
It was a great tweet.
I referred to masking as superstition like medieval peasants. It was great.
So here is what got flagged by me yesterday. They won't allow me to share it. Twitter said it's misinformation. The data is quite clear. Masks do virtually nothing to impact COVID. They are cosmetic theater for the fearful who don't look at the data. Continuing to argue they do is anti-science. Here are the latest per capita COVID rates for the past 14 days. Twitter flagged that as misinformation and won't allow it to be shared. I shared the actual COVID data, and I talked about why I believed what I do. Twitter wouldn't allow it.
That's because it's all about getting everybody to obey and comply, and anything that gets in the way, whether it's natural immunity, monoclonal antibodies, treatments that are granted experimental but completely safe, the whole ivermectin discussion, right? Which I was prescribed it by an MD, Joe Rogan was prescribed it by an MD, but you know, the morons on SNL are still talking about horse pills or whatever, which is not even an accurate description of what was taken, right? I mean, the whole thing is just showing you that there are people for whom honesty is irrelevant. They want you to comply. We all see this. And I just say, you know, Clay, we've been talking so much about the media, the things they've gotten wrong. And isn't it amazing that now they're effectively all, whether it's about Russia collusion or it's about the, you know, whipping of migrants from horseback at the border. We could go all day. The Hunter Biden laptop, all these things, Jussie Smollett, they retreat into, we're so dumb that we actually believe this stuff. It's not that we're unethical. I don't think that's actually better. I don't think journalists should be touting what a bunch of naive morons they are all the time. But it's not naivete. It's dishonesty.
It's narrative over fact. And it's also the fact that they memory hole all these stories. Most of them don't even acknowledge that they were ever wrong. And by the way, the worst terror attack to ever take place on American soil, 2,977 people lost their lives. September 11, 2001, just over 20 years ago. But thanks to so many of you who have given over $5 million in charity, our listeners, Rush's listeners, since then, more than 7,000 U.S. soldiers have also made the ultimate sacrifice, part of the war on terror. Tunnel to Towers honored those men and women who gave everything by reading their names aloud for the first time ever in a new annual ceremony taking place last week on Veterans Day. Tunnel to Towers is making sure their sacrifice is never forgotten. And right now, their season of hope runs from Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve, one mortgage-free home a day at least being given away for 37 days to honor America's greatest heroes. Buck, how do you help to ensure that all of these heroes are not forgotten and that we continue to make sacrifices for them?
Do good in their honor. Help Tunnel to Towers today. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We've had some great discussions today already, and if you missed them, we want to tell you, you can go read the transcripts at clayandbuck.com. You can also become an EIB 24/7 subscriber there. theclayandbuck.com. We have stories up. We have more reading on what we're talking about today. A place we're hoping you should be checking in when you can, day in, day out, for all the latest. We are still sitting and waiting for a decision from this jury in the Rittenhouse trial. The longer this drags out, the more a lot of people at least will assume that there's something. There's not unanimity among the jurors, which if you want an acquittal is obviously something. You know, you could have unanimity, obviously, in a conviction sense, too. So we'll bring you the latest. It could happen later today. It could be tomorrow when we're on air. We are following that one. Also right now, Representative Gosar of Arizona is giving a speech in defense of himself after a censure vote in Congress. Did you even see? Apparently he shared a video that was violent that had like an AOC. I didn't see. Did you see the video? I didn't see this, actually.
I didn't even see it. I heard about the flare up afterwards, but the video is down now and they're trying to censure him, which I don't think has happened since 2010 for a member of the House and remove him from his committees. And it seems like most Republicans believe this censure is overly broad and setting a bad precedent.
So it was anime, which is not something I'm familiar with, but it's kind of like adult cartoon stuff, right? Isn't the anime is like adult cartoons? I mean, I know the basics of what it is. I've never seen an anime movie or anything, but it was an anime cartoon where they had superimposed the face of Gosar and the face of it. All right. I mean, it's a dumb thing to do. But anyway, that's what's being talked about.
It's good to see our Congress people focused on the important things in life right now, like anime cartoons on social media.
It is one thing we didn't get to today, Clay, and I think we'll spend more time on tomorrow, is, you know, Bruce Ratner, who was he's a private equity guy, you know, has made a ton of money. There are a lot of super rich libs out there, as you all know, right? It's fascinating because the libs are the socialists. But there are also a lot of the billionaires. I mean, most of the billionaires, and you know, they're often very left wing in their policy choices while they're going between homes in, you know, Vail and Nantucket.
Well, you can be a super capitalist, and I think some of these guys are really like, you know, they're old school Democrats who are super billionaire that don't fit the party now. But what's interesting about what he's saying is, he's like, yeah. If we put trillions of more dollars into the economy, inflation is going to get way worse.
The op-ed that he wrote in the New York Times, no less, was, I warned Democrats about inflation. Now it is here, and they're going to keep doing the thing that we warned them against. And one, I think, important point this guy makes, and look, he was involved in the GM bailout, which a lot of people now forget, involved breaking legal contract with the bondholders for GM in favor of the unions, the auto workers unions, which is an important Democrat constituency in those states involved. Anyway, but Ratner was involved in the GM bailout situation. So he was an advisor of the Treasury Department under Obama. Left wing guy, but a very rich guy. There's plenty of those out there. I mean, Terry McAuliffe, you know, all these Nancy Pelosi, all these rich libs running around that want socialism and Green New Deal stuff for everybody else while they fly around in private jets. But what Ratner is saying, what says in the article is, we already had a $1.9 trillion spending bill.
Exactly what we've been saying.
Earlier this year. And he's like, I told people then. And when he says people, he means Democrats. And he's got connections at the top level. He's like, guys, this is going to have negative effects. You got people that don't want to go to work. They're being paid to stay home. You have too much fear in the blue states for the economies to get up and running at the level they should be because of all the Fauciism that's going on with the lockdowns and the rest of it. He says, you spent the $1.9 trillion. And now you're looking to, you've spent the money in the infrastructure bill, and you're going to be adding a few trillion on top of that. And the biggest threat politically to this presidency is inflation. And you're insisting on doing the one thing. The Democrats are like a kid who's burned his hand on the stove, who then goes, now I'm going to put both hands on the hot stove. Like, what are they doing?
They passed the $1.9 trillion. Now they've combined that with the $1.2 trillion infrastructure in conjunction with all of the bailout cash that was spent in 2020. We are talking about the biggest deficits that have existed since World War II. We've spent more money, Buck, responding to COVID than we did to win World War II. Think about that for a minute. It is absolute insanity. And so the idea that we are not going to have massive inflation for substantial periods of time to come is modern monetary theory, which is basically magical realism meets economics. And there are, this is what I've been saying, there aren't that many adult understanding economic leadership at all in the Biden White House. It's funny that the Obama economic team is now saying, what are you imbeciles doing, basically? That's the subtext of Ratner's piece.
It's amazing to see some Democrats who I think honestly are, they just see the writing on the wall. They know what's coming.
Yes.
They know this is a function of numbers, of math, ultimately. And the chance of Joe Biden getting reelected or whatever happens there with the whole, you know, is he going to try to run again? Is there going to be someone else? Whatever it may be. The chance of Democrats having another 4 years of the presidency, the chance of Democrats coming out of the midterm election without an epic wipeout in the
cataclysmic
electoral sense.
Yes.
If we have, you know, inflation starting to look like it's going to be 7%, 8%, 9%, they're done. And yet, what else do they offer the American people at this point? They have no vision for the country. The vision is spend a whole lot of money and tell you what to do and stay home and double mask, basically. So without
double
the money,
down,
it's all downside.
They're doubling down on stupidity because they have no actual plan that makes sense going forward. We'll continue to give you the absolute latest. You can see our interviews at clayandbuck.com. Go sign up for the podcast. We set an all-time record in October. Help us set a new all-time record in November for podcast downloads. Thank you guys for being such great supporters. I'm looking forward to seeing some of you tonight at the Patriot Awards at the Hard Rock Hotel. I'll be back in this frigid Miami studio tomorrow, Buck, and you'll continue along with me to update everybody on the latest with the Rittenhouse case.
Yeah, say hi to my buddies Pete Hegseth, Will Kane, and the rest of the Fox News fam down there at the awards, Clay. Have fun. We'll
be
back with you all tomorrow. Looking forward to it already.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.